Excellent. Notices. You can see them over leaf. Apologies for absence.
General apologies from Councillor Mrs. Acevedo and Councillor Beale, and something tells me I should be giving apologies for Councillor Miss Lewis, so I better do for now.
Okay, thank you.
Not unless you've got them before 5 o'clock.
No, this was well before 5 o'clock, it was my understanding.
Ah, Miss Lewis is coming
one. Well, you know, I had some debate about that particular recommendation that was agreed at the last council meeting anyway, but anyway, there we go. Minutes of the last meeting. Final minutes of the meeting of the Finance and Corporate Services meeting. Good. That is agreed. Disclosure of interest. Disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interest, or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business. On the agenda, in regards to paragraph 6 to 8, inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. Any here? No. Okay. Good. Public participation. There is none. Getting through this rapidly. Good news. There is some good news, apparently, which is good news. Housing benefit and council tax support. The council's performance in dealing with housing benefit and council tax support claims has been very good. Processing of new claims has taken an average of only 12 days, well below the target of 15 days, and changes in circumstances, whatever that relates to, is taking an average of 6 days compared to the target of 9. So coming in nicely there below target levels. Collection of council tax, we're at 98.3% for council tax, 97.8% for business rates, meeting our annual performance targets. Transformation in revs and bends. We're pleased to report that we're continuing to promote our digital by default approach to service delivery, achieve the highest ever levels of customers receiving payment of their benefits through BACS, which is 99.7%, and paying council tax by direct debit, which is 71.7%. The EU referendum, despite the hazardous weather, a number of local areas affected by flooding on the date of the EU referendum, we had a record or very high turnout of 79.2%, and thank you to all the officers and the community for ensuring the smooth running of this historic and very pleasing outcome. It doesn't say that, but I think I'm allowed to add that. work experience. The Legal and Democratic Services has recently had a pupil from the Plume School undertaking some work experience in the team for a two-week period. The pupil in question very much enjoyed her time at Morden District Council and commented that she was made to feel very welcome and part of the team. She was impressed by the breadth of work that is undertaken by the teams. This young lady has agreed to assist the teams to engage with young voters during Democracy Week. Legal and Democratic Services will be hosting two further work experience students over the summer. One of these students who attend Plume School was one of the very helpful young adults who worked at the EU referendum count. This pupil enjoyed that experience so much that she is looking forward to immersing herself further in the democratic process at district council level. This is an excellent outcome for the team who work hard to foster interest from young adults in the democratic process. Good. Moving on to corporate health and safety, item 7.
Thank you, Chairman. This is the usual quarterly report, health and safety report for the committee. Paragraph 3.1 of this report highlight the number of accidents and near misses during quarter one. It's important to note that we hold health and safety meetings at officer level every 2 months, and that these accidents and lessons learned are discussed during those meetings. And what's also discussed at the meeting is the health and safety action plan, a copy of which is highlighted in Appendix 1. So happy to take any questions.
Councillor Fleekar.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just a bit when I read 3.1 bullet 1 and 3.1 bullet 3 last paragraph, I mean, I find it absolutely extraordinary that we don't have a generic RAMS in position, because most corporates do, and we should have something there. And I just wondered if one of the officers could confirm whether we do or not, because these are pretty basic things, and I would have thought that we had a RAMS in position.
I would have to. I'll come back to you, Councillor Fluker, once I've checked that through with the relevant officer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's normal practice for the health and safety workplace regulations to have one, so I would like to think we have, and it didn't actually perform, which then brings another question, but perhaps through you, Chairman, we'll deal with that outside the meeting, but it does concern me enormously, particularly the impact on resources if we have a claim and then it can't be mitigated by 100% insurance payout.
But which of these specifically do you think is in breach of that?
Use of third party equipment and the simplicity of somebody catching a light, Chairman, when they use an angle grinder, which for your information is a piece of equipment with a wheel on.
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Fluker.
I'm sure my staff have provided that information before. Right, okay, moving on. Are there any other questions? Okay, is that report noted? Okay, moving on to the Strategic Plan for Workforce Development Progress Report. I think that's one for you, Ms. Moyes.
Yes, thank you. Workforce Development Plan is a four-year plan which we commenced last year and brought a report to FSC Committee. And as promised, we're now providing a progress report on the first year of activity. I won't go through everything in detail, as there's quite a lot here, but the 2015-16 activity has been fully completed, and it really is the building blocks for year two. So some of the primary things that were undertaken last year was implementing the core of the HR system, which members funded for us, which has improved the efficiency of HR considerably. There's more work to be done in year two, which is to deliver much more of the modules that we plan to have. For example, recruitment. This will sit very conveniently with a lot of the work we're doing around working with our planning department at the moment with the issues we have there. And various other things in terms of the absence management policy, review of that and so on. We've also gone through a programme of introducing new core values, and a considerable number of staff around the building were involved in that, as was CLT and certain members. And you can see the outcomes of that in the appendices. And we should also note that the colour coding there, so green is where work has been completed, yellow is where work is being undertaken, and red is work that hasn't started yet. So our primary focus for the forthcoming year is to really, I think, develop the year's work last year, complete the implementation fully of the HR system, which will include self-service, which will change the nature in which we work. It will impact on managers' work considerably more. There will be a lot more intelligence data gathered, which you will see being reflected in FNCS reports on HR from the autumn, which I think you will find very interesting. We are almost ready to provide you with an updated version of the absence management policy. This will be going to CLT shortly, review to have a report at FNCS most probably early autumn, and that I think will help to assist in terms of us bringing down our absence level rates, which have been considerably high for the last 18 months or not more. In saying that, I think we're also much more efficient in reporting now, so that could have a reflection on those figures as well. But there'll be a lot more being done and undertaken in terms of making that more efficient and hopefully being able to monitor and bring those absence rates down. So I've gone through that quite quickly. Is there any questions, members, that you'd like to ask?
Some good progress there on workforce development, members. That report noted, or are there any questions?
Noted.
Okay, good. Moving on to, item 9, financial outturn 15-16.
Okay, good evening, members. This is a quick summary of the Council's financial outturn 15-16. The statement of accounts was signed off by the Section 151 officer on the 30th of June as required by statute. The second page of the item covers the brief summarised position. It highlights that the council did underspend, which is good news, better than overspending. So we did receive some extra income from a few areas, particularly as mentioned earlier, council tax monitoring agreement meant that we received a bit more money for council tax agreement with Essex County Council and other preceptors. We did underspend quite a few budgets which have been committed to, and that will be reflected in the earmarked reserves as committed expenditure. That will be seen on the next page but one. And we did also benefit from a little bit of extra investment income due to investing in property investment fund. The salaries was also underspent. That is summarised in Appendix 1. And that was mainly due to vacancies during the year. Our major sources of income, overall we were slightly down on income. That was mainly due to development control not doing as well as we had hoped. As you can see in the table, investment income was up by 22 and the town centre car parks was up by 17. So overall income was down slightly. Earmarked reserves are summarised in Appendix 2. We have actually got balances of 2.435 million, the major use of which has been to set aside the funding for the committed expenditure from 2015-16, which will be spent in 2016-17. Over the page on to capital, just to say there's a few capital projects that are still ongoing at the end of the year. It's a bit like revenue where the work wasn't done, so we've got to carry the budget forward. They total 1.336 million. Okay, that is it, Chair, in summary. Thank you.
It's always good to try and get budgets which are very accurate, but at the end of the day I'd rather see an underspend than an overspend. It's good to have this information on salaries. That was something which certainly members had asked for previously. I think it's good to see kind of the split by directorate around where we're underspending on salaries, to identify whether those are areas where we can continue to underspend and the service level isn't actually affected, or where we do actually need to bring new people in. And particularly maybe where we need to bring people in on higher salaries potentially to attract them to the authority if we're having trouble recruiting. But it is odd, I think, when you look through this list that you see things like enforcement, where certainly I and I think other members have really struggled to get a lot of focus from that team on planning issues and understand that it's been severely understaffed for a long period of time, where apparently we're not underspending it. So I don't know how these numbers are totally compute, but nonetheless I think it's a helpful piece of further analysis for us to start looking through department by department and see where the underspends are versus the performance issues. Members, any questions? Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. 3.1.2.1 and Appendix 1 in particular, I did actually recall that we were going to have some previous year benchmarking on wages so that we could actually track the establishment costs. So I think that might be useful to see in the future, so that we can compare year on year rather than just budget actual for 15-16. That gives us a clear indication. I'm not sure that I share your enthusiasm to the point that we underspent on enforcement by £1,400, and it's going to make a huge difference if we did, because my feeling is it won't. But the thing that concerns me enormously is that we budgeted for £70,000 variance on wages, but we've actually gone up to 284. Now, I'm sure that the figures included there will include agency fees. Perhaps the officer could confirm that.
They don't include agency fees. The way the budgets work is we take the budget away from the salaries budgets and put them down into agency if we need to recruit an agency person.
So what I can understand that totally, but we do need to have some idea how much we're spending on agency, if it has to be deducted from that 284, because it just gives it gives a slight slant. So I agree with Councillor Sisson, if we don't need to spend the 284, then perhaps we shouldn't recruit. But if we're spending 284 or more on temporary staff and agency staff, then I think we need to be able to extrapolate those figures from these reports. So yeah. Perhaps Chairman.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, these numbers without the agency costs are kind of meaningless. So I think we kind of want to understand kind of line by line where we're spending on agencies. And I think that's something we've asked for before, to get that agency data. That said, the fact that we've got an underspend on the budget at the total level, you know, we must be underspending, you know, on salaries plus agency as a whole. Otherwise, it would be falling through to the budget as a whole. But nonetheless, I think we should be seeing that data for agencies on a kind of line by line basis if we can.
Could I just clarify, Chair, that the budget and the actual excludes agency staff. So Appendix 1 isn't distorted as such. The budget gets reduced because the actuals are reported elsewhere. So there's no mismatch between that underspend being taken up by agency costs. The agency costs have got their own budget that's been funded from a reduced salaries budget. So that Appendix 1 is purely salaries compared to salaries.
Okay, if you allow me to come back, I mean, I think it might be useful, actually, if we perhaps have a report back to this committee on establishing the costs, showing 14, 15, perhaps it's something we can do during the year, Chairman, but I think it would be useful to see that for 15, 16.
Yeah, I think that would be useful, and I think there's a plan, you know, again, to have the Star Chamber meetings, you know, this year to try and get some focus from each of the officers and each of the committee chairs on this subject. But I totally agree with you in terms of how the information is presented. And I think, as I say, we really do need to see, you know, yes, where there's a salary underspend, that's good, but if that salary underspend is being spent potentially and more than spent on agency costs, then I think we need to understand that as well, because I think we need to understand where there are where there are roles which aren't being filled, and we're saving money, and potentially over a period of time we don't need to fill those roles, because if no one's jumping up and down and saying, well, actually we have a problem with the service level, then we can carry on with those salary underspends and not fill those roles on a permanent basis. Alternatively, we actually find out whether we're spending an awful lot of money, potentially all of the salary underspend, on agency costs, or we're doing so certainly in some areas. And that's something which I think the committee would very much like to see, so that we can try and ensure that we're actually looking for full-time employees to replace those roles, potentially with a market supplement or whatever the terminology is that we're using, given you know, our HR policy, to attract the right permanent candidates. Yes, Councillor Shrimpton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier this month, there was a front page of the Malvern Standard said that under the Freedom of Information Act that the council got £400,000 in car park fees. On page 51 it says £560,000. Is there some discrepancy that I can't quite get hold of?
Well, I think you shouldn't believe everything you read in the papers is probably the first piece of advice, but let me ask the officers to comment on the specific discrepancy.
Yep, thank you, Councillor Shrimpton, for your question. The figure quoted in the paper, about 400K, that is the net income position. So whereas in this case, the 561K is the totality of the income, so that is the gross income.
Okay. So that figure that was on the page of Malvern Burnham was more or less accurate. That is the profit.
I wouldn't call that as a profit. That would be the net income position. So that is really the
after the expenses. So everything that's left must be what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I call that profit.
Well, it is arguably profit, but at the same point, I think what you have to remember, Councillor Shrimpton, is that these are highly valuable sites in the town centre.
Oh, yes.
The council is not. If we were to sell off those sites for some other purpose, we'd be getting very high returns. So, of course, it's entirely legitimate that when people park in the town centre, we charge them for doing so. Because otherwise, what you're essentially doing is charging the people who are not using the service.
That wasn't my question. You're answering
a
question I haven't asked.
Well, I'm going on to provide some I'm going on to provide some helpful information, whether it's part of your question or not. It's going beyond your question, I think, is the intention. Anyway, any other questions? Good, excellent. Moving on to the next report. Item 10, business rates retention and business rates reform consultations.
Thank you, Chairman. Members, I'm sure that we've heard that the government has been talking about 100% business rates retention for local government, and they have made a commitment that that will be introduced before the end of the current Parliament. Whether that will be 1920 or 2021, it is still slightly unclear. What they have done is, 3 weeks ago, they have issued two consultation papers, one of which is called Self-Sufficient Local Government 100% Business Rates Retention Consultation, of which you have a list of 36 questions contained in Appendix A. And as you can see from the set of questions, they are you know, generally asking views on the principles rather than coming up with what the 100% business rates retention model would look like. And paragraph 3.1.5 contains a timetable as to the government is trying to work towards how the business rates retention system is going to work. As part of that consultation, they have issued a separate consultation about the funding formula, which the questions of which are highlighted in Appendix 2. The issue is that both the deadlines to both of the consultations is closing on the 26th of September, and obviously that is a day before our next meeting. So I'm asking for delegated authority to be given to myself as well as the chairman of this committee to agree a final response to both of the consultations.
I mean, personally, members, I wouldn't get terribly excited about this. We've just had a change in Chancellor, we've had a change in Community Secretary, and I think this is going to be thrown into the long grass personally, but we'll see. Councillor Fluker.
That's quite interesting, actually, if you Google Mr. Hammond's views on all of this, because they seem to be slightly different to, I can't remember the name of the old Chancellor. But nevertheless, I mean, going on to 3.1.6, I'm delighted that the 151 officer refers to our new power station. Perhaps it's something you heard about when you were in Hong Kong or China, I don't know. But my understanding, we've got to wait till Thursday to see if Hinkley Point goes ahead, and who knows, Bradwell might progress in the next 20 years. But what I wanted to know was, I thought that strategic sites like nuclear power stations, major railway stations, they've never ever been in that mix. All of the rates have always gone to the government. But reading that, it suggests that they come out. And I think that if they are coming out and they're coming back to us, I think the risk that you've flagged up is absolutely right. But Chairman, one of the things that's always grated with me is the amount of relief that we give to agricultural businesses, particularly when they are being fed from outside the area, outside the region, and they're actually selling to outside the area and outside the region. And one that springs to mind is Denji Crop Dryers, which doesn't pay any NDR, and I just hope that perhaps now we're sort of leaving the EU, all of these policies will be reconsidered, because in that particular instance, there is a huge amount of damage done to the road and local infrastructure, and there's absolutely nothing going back into the community pot. So if amongst all these questions, you can find a question where we can put that down as an answer, I'll be grateful, but I've read it twice and I can't, so I'll give way to you two.
I think if members feel stronger about that point, I think that should be a letter going separately to the Chancellor. I think that would be the better route. But you're absolutely right. I don't think there is a question relating to the point that you were trying to make. So I think I would suggest a separate letter to go out.
If you could allow me to come back. I mean, there's certain intelligence out there at the moment, but there could well be two well-worked-up bio schemes coming forward in the district. Now, as the legislation stands at the moment, we wouldn't receive a penny in NDR from them because they'll say it's agriculture. So, you know, I think perhaps the Chancellor of the Exchequer should start to understand what's going on. And, you know, I welcome the fact that you want to write this letter, and I'll happily engage with you over that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was just a tad concerned about, renewables, we've got £440,000 worth of NDR, I think, at the moment from the two wind farms. And obviously that's going to increase by another 250 when Turncoal comes online. You know, we need to be able to protect that, I think.
Mm.
You know, the last thing we want, it's top sliced, and not least of all because it spoils the view from my house, Chairman. Thank you.
We certainly don't want that to happen. But look, I totally agree with you, and that needs to be reflected in the consultation response. But look, as I say, I wouldn't get very excited about this because, like devolution, given we've got new portfolio holders, we'll believe it when we see it. Yes, Councillor Harker.
Just a little point. The two links referred to in the report don't work.
Oh, do they not?
No, not
really.
You can't, not in
Moz.gov.
It's not connected to the outside world.
Well, maybe Philip Hammond has already removed it from the website.
I'll check it out. Yeah.
We'll make sure you'll send details. Is that agreed?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. There aren't any other items of business. I close the meeting at 7:55.